please start the show. This is just a quick message to remind you that if you are passionate about the fight for marriage equality in Australia, then please remember to vote. Because postal plebiscites aren't something that we're particularly used to in Australia, and this is because they're extremely dumb, it's easy to forget to vote in the actual thing. So if you haven't got your ballot yet, remember to fill it out as soon as it arrives. And if you have got your ballot and haven't sent it in, why not do that right now? And don't tell me you're busy, because I happen to know for a fact that you have time to listen to this idiot podcast. Speaking of which, here it is. All right. It's Free to a Good Home. Welcome. Oh, no. How does he do this?
Do you want me to do it?
Okay, go.
Hello and welcome along to Free to Get Home, a podcast about advertorials online. I am a guest.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've really just been guest cucked, basically. the two voices you've just heard are Guy Montgomery and Alex Lee. Alex Lee is filling in for Michael Hing, who is dead.
He's dead. I watched him get hit by a train and I walked here.
Oh, my God. You are wearing this incredibly well.
So, hang on. Did you? You didn't set this up. You just saw him hit by a train. And
I thought, they're probably going to be recording a podcast. So I just moseyed on over.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing that.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. You guys are in for a treat, literally.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a credit. What an opportunistic outlet you have. Friend to all, Michael Hing, you know, meets a grisly demise. And you think, I reckon I could jump on his pod.
You both are in for a literal treat.
Yeah.
Because we have sometimes our listeners from overseas.
Oh, you haven't said who Guy is yet.
Oh, it's Guy Montgomery.
Yeah, that's who I am.
He's here because Tim Batt is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have another friend who also befell exactly the same fate. And I haven't taken it as well to you. This is pure escapism for me.
Well, that'll teach them for trying to set up a rival podcast for train tracks.
Yeah, it's where they review trains as they come at them very fast. Yeah.
They came to me with this idea. They're like, do you want in? We're going to stand on the tracks and review trains as they come into station. I was like, I can see a problem with this, fellas.
He tried to warn him, but their tragic loss is your happy gain.
Yeah.
Because we have listeners from overseas who sometimes send us snacks for beloved segment Snack Report. And Chiharu Nishimoto from Japan, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing that too badly, has sent us a metric plethora of Japanese snacks.
Absolutely.
It
a veritable feast.
Like being in Japan right now.
It is. I feel I'm discombobulated. The point is, we have so many snacks. We can't possibly get through all of them. Chiharu has labeled, really really helpfully labeled, all of the snacks because she's accurately worked out that we won't be able to read Japanese.
Yeah, which I actually found a mite racist. Accurate, yes.
But so we've all picked one.
Yeah.
Also, some of the labels have fallen off, some of them. So there's just like terrifyingly vague. I'm looking at this note here and it's like notoriously crunchy and sharp, beware, and I don't know what it's meant to go with. I have chosen, and I think I've actually been kind of pretty conservative here. I've chosen the Fuji Apple gummies, and helpfully she's labeled that it contains honey and gelatin. I assume that's for Hing's benefit, being a vegan. But he's dead, so
yeah.
What have you got, Alex?
I changed my mind at the last minute because I read the note on this one. There were wasabi Kit Kats. And the note from Chiharu is, my father took wasabi Kit Kats as a gift to a client and was forced to eat it first.
What, because a client thought that he was poisoning him?
I think so. He claims it's hot and vile as it sounds, so I included other painful snacks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a wasabi Kit Kat.
That leads very neatly onto the snack I've chosen, which there's a label taped to it, and all it says is, it seems vile, so good luck, I guess. And then she's included the note that this has some dry milk, which would rule Hing, the great late Michael Hing, out from being able to eat it. So I'm going to remove this from its packaging, and it looks vile.
Oh, yeah. So can we describe what we're looking at here?
Just small little brown nuggets. They look like, you know, at the sort of pellets that medium-sized farm animals shit.
I was going to say they look a lot like the shit of a
sheep or something.
A sheep or, yeah. or even a massive wombat. Now, my apple gummies, I chose these expecting them to basically be like, you know, Haribo style. Yeah.
Mm.
They're not. They're, this is something that... Something quite evil has been done to an apple. See what I mean? Like, yeah. it's a real apple.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's a cube.
Yeah.
Can I ask, before we all start snacking, are we all going to share around and try some of each other's snacks?
I am not touching yours, but...
Okay.
Well, Kit Kats are for sharing, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want me to force you to eat it first, as is custom?
With pleasure.
Okay, so I've just had the apple. It's really, really delightful.
Oh, really?
Very sweet. Incredibly sweet.
Is this truly a segment on your... Do people like hearing you chew?
Yeah.
Surprisingly. I think it's because it upset Hing so much that people enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. Because I used to chew food on my podcast, and Tim, really, I got a real telling off.
Yeah, especially the person editing it who has to hear that.
Yeah, but that motherfucker's dead now, so let's eat up. Should we go at the same time,
all
you
right,
and I,
okay,
Alex?
Okay, ready, set, go.
Like a regular Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's happening?
Oh, there's badness inside. Yeah, I got that.
I haven't got any badness yet.
Did it just hit, or like, was it an aftershock?
It's just like, it's weird because it's not chilly like a, you know, hot like wasabi normally is.
No,
but
it kind of just, it's numbing like wasabi. Yeah. Kind of.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also realized
it's just not that bad. I would say.
Know. Yeah, do you want to try it, Ben?
Oh yeah, sure.
Good to go. I also realized I didn't actually articulate beneath the note, the branding on my snack, it's just got the word bake and then the word coriander and a picture of coriander next to these little, you know, shit pellets.
Oh my God.
The
badness just hit. How's bake going?
Well, it's about to happen.
Oh, you've ooh, just crunchy. Put an entire pellet in your mouth.
No, it's not what I expected because I thought it was going to be crunchy, as you said, but it's actually got like a brownie softness to it.
Oh, I hate this.
Is it coriander flavor?
I'm not getting a lot of coriander at all. It's just like a small, pretty delicious... Oh, it's getting a little weird now. Yeah, look, I mean...
All right, I'm going to...
I wouldn't tell people not to eat them, but I wouldn't buy them myself.
All right, I'm going to try one.
Oh, that's a lot softer than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Even with my warning. Man, I get no respect.
I'm actually a fan of that. Jaharu, thank you. I mean, on future episodes, we might go... Into a deep dive because I think we've just but scratched the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking here. We've got a box of cookies or a bag of cookies called Country Ma'am. We've got a cylinder of something. I mean, most of the stuff that had labels we have eaten.
Yeah.
So now it's basically just a lucky dip.
A free for all. But that I mean, what fans you have to send this much food.
Yeah. Right.
Across what ocean is that? The Pacific, the Atlantic, the Pacific Ocean.
Pacific, yeah.
All the way. Would you like some apple gummy?
Yeah, sure.
It's a bit of a treat.
Hey, what a wonderful and positive way to start off this podcast as we bury the memory and bodies of our former friends and colleagues, Michael Hing and Tim Batt. And cheers to one another.
Cheers, guys. Would you guys like a classified to begin with?
Mm.
This is sent in from friend of both Freedom Good Home and Dragon Friends, Sienna Austin. Thank you, Sienna.
Hi, Sienna.
And it's from the Sydney area, taken yesterday. She, by the way, said that she found these classifieds for us instead of studying for what I think might actually be her HSC at this point.
Oh, no. So you've made a bad choice. Don't worry. There's a good career in classified finding.
Yeah. What do you pay the listeners who send in these classifieds?
The ability to send us snacks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I got to say, Alex, I don't know if you and my opinions on everything diverge, but I don't think a good career is qualifying to send snacks to a podcast.
So this is from the Sydney area. It's man for woman, and it's weirdly in the missed connections area. And there's a photograph of this man. There you are. That's what he looks like. Yeah. White guy, short hair, looks maybe to be in his mid-20s, 30s or so.
On a train?
It looks like he's on a train, yeah. So this is bad breath, ? Man for woman. Short ad, almost a haiku. Do you have bad breath? ? Next line. Can I please smell it? ? Next line. Call/text me. And what he's done is he's included his phone number, and I won't read it out, but the curious thing that he's done is he's spelt out his phone number alphabetically rather than using the numeral system that we have had for a while.
We know and love.
Yeah.
I guess there's probably quite a vigilant way of trying to prevent anyone, like, you know, serious offers only kind of thing.
Oh,
you
okay.
know, it's like otherwise any old Joe Schmo or Lady Joe, you know,
sure,
could copy and paste and send him all sorts of texts saying, "Hey, I got minty fresh breath, and I'm going to haunt your dreams, bitch."
So that's the whole ad. It's a misconnection. Do you have bad breath? Can I please smell it? Do you think? Oh, and it's age. His age. Oh, he's actually put his age here. Age 31. Body mm-hmm. athletic, and he is single, Alex Lee.
Wow.
And he's included a little picky dick.
Not a dicky pic.
No, very key distinction.
A very important distinction.
If it's a missed connection, does that mean that he was on the train and he smelt someone with bad breath and was like, "I've got to find her again"?
Oh, this is like halitosis Cinderella.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, that's what I was wondering. A missed connection, this would suggest that he... This is I don't frequent these corners of the internet, you know, too often anymore. I've got what I needed from them. But a missed connection is that you go out in public and you have an experience and you sort of see someone you like and you're like, "Oh my God, I'll never get to see them." And so you just, you know, darts in the wind. You, I don't know.
Exactly. Typically you're like, "Oh, I saw you on the 470. You had a blue cardigan. I didn't have the courage to murder you then." So.
If you want to,
want to meet up in this alleyway tonight.
Exactly.
And okay. I mean, it seems like it doesn't look like he's asking after anyone specific. He just wants...
Well, that's what worries me. Like, I think if he is looking for this mystery lady with bad breath, then he needs to be more specific.
Yeah.
But also, if bad breath is just his kink, and he just wants to smell somebody's breath, well, we have to assume, and I say this a lot on the podcast, but if it's... You have to take it as read that they'll be jerking it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to sort of... Unless specifically otherwise said, "I won't be jerking it."
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll be happening.
But, you know, as soon as you say you won't be jerking it, you of course wind up in a pretty delicate situation. You're like, "Well, why would you bring it up?"
So, I mean, like, the other thing about this is bad breath is quite easy to simulate. Like, if he's not looking for a mystery woman, like, anybody can have bad breath. You just need to...
Tell you what, if that man and I woke up next to one another this morning, we would have been in for a boner-given trip. It was horrible.
It's hard to simulate morning breath, though. Like, that's a particular, like, staleness.
Yeah. Hey, do you know, the other night, woke up, brushed my teeth before I went to bed.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you very much. Woke up in the middle of the night to do a wee.
Uh-huh. And also like, very good.
Thank
got out.
You. And I was like, "Oh, gosh, my breath's a bit near." So I bloody brushed my teeth again.
In the middle of the night.
Because that'd be nice for Anya, you know, doesn't want to sleep next to somebody with yucky breath. Then in the morning, I roll over to give her a little smooch. And she's like, "Honey, I'm so sorry. Your breath stinks."
Whoa.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Well, you know, sometimes what happens at midnight is it's so dark and you're so tired and you piss all over your toothbrush, don't you?
I always wonder, why is mint the only fresh flavour?
Hang on. What? What do you...
Question.
What do you mean?
Like, why did we decide that the only way to smell fresh in the mouth is with mint?
Why are we
why do we choose that certain
Why are we
herb?
Worshipping at the altar of mint?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be one of those things where it's like, "Oh, back in like the 20s, a mint company got a monopoly."
Yeah, it will be.
On, and yeah, and like,
yeah,
and
basically started the cartel. Blasted hemp out of the water, you know?
Yeah.
I want, well, if, okay, if I had, because you can get like bubblegum flavored toothpaste, right?
If you're a little baby.
But does that have notes of mint in it, or is that entirely
just bubblegum? No, it's just gum. And it's got like Spider-Man on the tube.
Can't take anything seriously that's Spider-Man on the tube.
No, I would hate to brush my teeth with bubblegum. When you're six, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
It feels like you're kind of...
Because then it's like an extra dessert.
Yeah, well, it's convention breaking. That's a really good question. If you have a reason, dear listener, why mint has a monopoly on freshness, if you can answer the thorny question that Alex Lee has raised, please do email in.
Please send me some of your breath.
In a bottle.
In a bottle.
Or jars. I've got so many jars.
Libby, do you have one?
Yes. Here's one. It's been sent in from James Quinn. And it says, "Wanted, I'm looking for the lady owner of a blue Honda Accord Euro with the above-mentioned plates. I've been meaning to ask her out since last year, but due to personal issues, I didn't have the courage to do so.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a real catch.
I'm afraid I've missed my chance to ask her out, as I did attempt several times, but I haven't seen her for quite a while.
What were those attempts?
Yeah.
Dude, you have definitely missed your chance.
You have asked this woman several times. I just can't take her off my head. And thus here we are. I'd prefer to finally ask her personally, but as mentioned earlier, I haven't seen her in a while. If she's reading this or has, or anyone has or knows her contact details, please send them to me. Also, P.S., I'm willing to give a negotiable amount of monetary reward to any information on the lady driver of the blue Honda Accord.
Very sinister.
Yeah.
Suddenly, that P.S. got real dark, didn't it?
Yeah, if you were like, if before you were aiding and abetting in a crime, now you definitely
are. Yeah.
What kind of a shitty friend of this person would you have to be?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Sally's car.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll let this guy know.
Oh, yeah, that's Sally with that guy who wouldn't stop asking her out last year.
How cool would it be? You'd be like, hey, I just came into $50, Sally. Let's say I take you and I out for some breakfast.
Oh, this is grim.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, the plot of a lot of romantic comedies that are blamed for this, because there is a way that this can be charming if it's like, I don't know, John Cusack doing it, and if it's scripted, and if it's like, you know, a really contrived universe.
It's weird. The time for this to be charming, I think, has passed, right?
Like, you mean this is like a very 90s plot?
Or not necessarily in terms of romantic comedy, but the real world equivalent, like what this is happening in the real world.
Yeah.
There would have been a time, you know, before the internet, if it was just someone describing, like putting it something in the newspaper or like calling up a radio station or something, there's like an old timey charm to that. But if there's something like really cold and creepy and calculated about like taking a photo of someone's plates, uploading it to the internet and being like, I need to know who this person is because I've just gotten over some shit in the last 2 years.
I'm like 75% sure I'm over this.
It's like, I haven't run into her for a while. I wonder why that is, dude, because you keep fucking like following her and mumbling.
You could, I mean, like, I don't want to give this person any ideas, but you can definitely just get a private detective to do this, right?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
And I mean, he's obviously got a bit of disposable income. So.
I mean, you're not banking on her having like dreadful friends.
This is James Quinn hasn't sent in his own editorial.
No.
To get a bit of a signal boost.
Yeah. That's going to happen one day.
I don't
think this is going to bear fruit.
It's not very romantic. Like, if you were talking about a woman that you're in love with, that you're obsessed with, you've been trying to ask out for ages, would you describe her as the lady owner of a blue Honda Accord Euro?
And also,
is that all he knows about her?
It suggests he works on like PA systems, you know, airports or something. He's got a certain, you know, way of speaking.
To the lady with the blue Honda Accord, please.
Marry me.
Yeah.
Accord to my dick.
Yeah.
I hope this lady gets a new car just to be safe.
That's a good point. I haven't seen her in a while. Maybe she's moved or maybe, you know, if this were like a 90s comedy, she would have sold the car to like
some big burly beefy guy.
Yeah.
And he would have like...
Who turns out to be her ex-boyfriend or something.
Yeah, and like he turns up to the car running up with like flowers and chocolates and with his eyes closed doing a big kissy mouth.
I feel like we're getting to... like there's something about Mary territory here. And then the two nerds or like the two losers, they go into a room and they plan to compete for her affections.
Yep.
Yeah. My gosh, you guys. We should edit that out and write it into a screenplay.
Guy, do you have one to share with
us? Yeah, I do. I'm sight reading these.
Okay. Oh, are you?
Yeah, for fun. Reborn doll I made. $450. Kilsyth, Victoria, Australia. It's not real. Well, that's reassuring. It's a reborn doll that looks and feels like a newborn doll she can make. A child or a child at heart, so happy, yo be like mummy. Pick up in Kilsyth. I have a pram she can go in for $80. This is terrifying.
May I see that photo?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, fuck.
So
what is it? Is it a...
It's like, you know those baby born dolls?
Oh, no.
But I tell you what, this person, apart from being terrifying, has quite a skill for like recreating baby born dolls.
Is that... Okay, would they be... Does that make them more frightening or less frightening that they are actually like quite an artisan?
It's a good question. I think little column A, little column B, you know, like it's nice that they've got a skill that they've refined and they've probably got a trade that they can live off of, but it's also terrifying their application of it, right?
I worry about how they got so good, you know, like who's the original baby mold of this?
Who, like
I don't know how to make, I wouldn't know how to make a doll though. Like I would not know where to start. If you said to me right now, you have to make one.
If I gave you $1,000 for materials and literally unlimited time, do you think you could make something approaching that?
I don't know how to work. Will it be latex?
I mean, that's up to
all
you.
All I'm thinking about is a big mound of clay for the tummy. That's where I start.
I'm wondering where to get baby eyeballs from.
Well, there's an implicit answer in your question. Who's this for?
Well, this person's made what they value as at $450 a doll with no, you know, market.
Well, no, see, that's what, like, this ad is triply scary. First of all, the photograph's a dream, haunting stuff.
Mm.
Second of all, the fact that somebody exists who makes this voluntarily is frightening. And then finally, that there is somebody who would buy this. This suggests a really dark kind of chain.
And you got to pick it up. They can't ship it to you. So, you know, you can imagine they go, you're in the market for these little baby dolls, are you? Well, I got, there's plenty more where they
came from. Yeah, exactly.
It's like there's an entry-level doll.
Yeah, you got to go to their house.
Wait till you see what's happening down in the basement. I just want the doll.
Is the fact that somebody... can do a trade, like does like technical skill make somebody less frightening?
No, much more because they've spent time getting good at it.
Okay, let me ask you this: what is the most?
I think anyone who tries hard at anything is creepy.
Let me ask you this: like you,
what are you doing? You creep.
What are you doing?
Walk into an office full of lawyers. You're all terrified.
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, weird hobby, much?
Yeah.
What is
applying yourself? Ugh.
Now you are married, but if you weren't and you went home with somebody who was like everything else wonderful, like really you had a great night, what is the worst hobby they could have that would make you be like, I'm going to get my coat and leave when they're in the bathroom?
Oh.
Because I find like most hobbies inherently frightening.
What about like a collection of shoes, like tiny shoes?
Oh my God, what? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
you mean lots and lots of tiny little shoes.
Yeah,
that's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
But even things that aren't necessarily sinister, like if they were like, oh, I repair clocks, I'd be like, nah, okay, bye.
Really?
Yeah. But that's also because that person's probably Paul Keating.
But you have a lot of weird hobbies.
Yeah, but I don't have to date myself. That's crucial. Would you guys like one? This is interesting. I don't know a lot about the world of coinography, but it's not called that, is it?
I don't know. Is it the thing where you fuck coins?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
So this is a taken from Gumtree.
You just get a big like sack of $2 coins and whack them against your scrot.
Oh.
That's coinography.
Okay, well, I don't actually know. Well, this is for one $2 coin.
What's
so maybe
coinography for a lady? Same sack of coins.
same sack of coins, uh-huh. Just more on the front.
Okay. Well, this is just one coin, so you'd need to, like, you know, spend a bit to get that sack full. It's a $2. Now, this is confusing, right? Because it has... I reckon this is like a real problem in the world of coins because you have to list two prices. You have to list,
of course,
what the actual value of the coin is and what you're asking for. So this is a $2 coin, right, from Australia, 2001.
Yeah.
And the copy goes like this. The headline is $2 Australian, 2001, error coin, errors, errors.
You think they were like, I'll fill that out later. Before I submit this to the internet, I better put some words in there that aren't just the word errors twice.
$799. Wait, well, $797, really.
That is, I would say, a bad deal.
It's quite a leap. I won't.
$797, too expensive.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing why this coin is worth $797.
This shiny?
Oh.
So there's... All right.
What? I can fucking soak my coins in Coca-Cola. All right.
This shiny 2001...
Good year.
$2 coin has a few errors.
What?
Obverse shows a die fill error. The digit O is barely there. And what would a digit O be doing there?
So the O in 2001?
Oh, okay. Right, sorry. Yep, that's good. That checks out. But it's barely there. And Cudmark, which is related to mark on reverse. On the reverse, two sets of claw marks and the cud on the top.
Hold on a second. Is this just a fucked up old coin?
Yeah. Not even that old. 15
like,
years old.
You know, I've seen coins that have been through metal, you know, like incinerators or whatever. Yeah. And they come out. I've never thought to be like, oh, I'll try and get an $800.
Well, that's appeared. And the picture, it says that the zero is barely there in the 2001. I beg to differ. I think it's quite clear.
So like it's a if you're trying to sell a $2 coin for this much money,
yeah,
under the guise that it's got things specifically interestingly wrong with it.
Yeah.
Put up several high-resolution photos.
Yeah.
Like a low-res black and white.
Yeah. Because this is a thing, right? This is a thing. Like error coins, or I don't know if they call that what this guy calls it.
They're called error coins, errors.
It's written in front of you, you fucking idiot.
Errors. You'd want the queen's wearing a party hat.
Yeah. They accidentally printed like a big fake glasses and mustache on the coin. Yeah.
Unbelievably racist text on the obverse of the coin.
Yeah. Or like 2091 and it was a future coin.
Oh, hey. Now we're talking, that's interesting.
I'd buy that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy this. That would be very clear.
Most amazingly, if Queen Elizabeth was still on the front.
In 2091. Imagine that.
And looking younger. Yeah.
Whoa, wearing a party hat.
That's how she stays so young.
The body hat of youth, eternal youth.
You know there's the Devil's Bible, which is like a good version of this stupid thing, where it's like, I can't remember what edition of it was. Back when like the printing press first started, and it's like some idiot monk left out the not in thou shalt not commit adultery.
Ah.
And they tried to like collect all of them, but there's like five or six in the world.
What sort of like, who's that horny with that much time on their hands? Just commit adultery.
Yeah, you're not gonna like win an argument with your wife or a judge.
Well, like, you're going to lose your wife because you're chasing this book around the world, spending all your money. You come back, you're like, I'm going to cheat on you. And she's not there.
I also think one of the dangers with this coin is, as you say, it is very difficult to tell the difference between like claw marks that have happened, I don't know, in the minting process and a coin just being fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't understand what's appealing about claw marks on a coin in the first instance.
I once tried to hand a pretty fucked up coin, but I reckon it would have worked in a vending machine to a bus driver. And he got furious at me.
Really?
He took it personally. Like, I was a snotty private school kid, so it's possible that, like, he thought I was like...
There was other elements at play.
Yeah, but
What was wrong with it?
It was just all fucked up. It had some claw marks. It had digit O barely visible.
Have you grown up... You've always had plastic money here in Australia, hey?
No, I reckon we would have been maybe three when...
But since you've been handling cash,
I had a job at three.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
What were you doing at the age of three?
I was the foreman at a baby factory.
The foreman?
Yeah.
This maybe where part of the details of the movie Boss Baby would lean?
Yeah, it's currently going through a lawsuit at the moment.
Oh, wow. A class action.
Yeah, so I find that odd. Have you ever had money refused?
I don't know. Because I would be too shy to give it to them.
Really?
I would just hang on to it forever.
And then list it online.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had a note because I was asking we have plastic money now in New Zealand, land of the future, but it was paper and, you know, I'd have a ripped note.
How long have you not had paper for?
Oh, ages. Since I can remember, really.
Right, okay.
But I remember having a ripped note and trying to buy an ice cream with like a ripped $5 note.
Yeah, but not ripped in half. Like,
yeah. But, you know, you can tie it back together. And the guy's like, no. I was like, what are you talking about? This is $5.
Hang on, but was it like... 60% of $5 or was it like...
It was 100% of $5 in two bits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think...
And he didn't take it.
Well, I didn't know it was ripped. I took it out of my pocket. It was in two bits. And I was like, I mean, it's a dairy. You have sellotape on the fucking shelf.
Yeah.
Do you call them dairies here?
I know what you mean. Like a milk bar?
Oh, it's more of a corner store. New Zealand's the only place that calls them dairies.
I assumed you weren't going
you're going to the stores, to where they kept all the cows.
Well, this milkman was like, get off! You're a hazard!
Do you think when polymer notes came into both New Zealand and Australia, there was a marked uptick in pushing people in pools?
Yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like before it was phones, it was money.
Yeah, right? Like, you have to be like, hey, can I see your wallet? And they'd be like, no, because you're going to push me in the pool. Yeah, same as, can I see your phone? Yeah. I reckon the second that we make an iPhone that is 100% waterproof, it's going to be a bloody free-for-all.
Yeah.
Why didn't you, if you said, hey, can I see your wallet? Why? And if you were that kind of mean guy, wouldn't you just chuck their wallet in the pool?
Yeah, that mean. Why is this the thing that's...
I mean, that sweet spot where I want to make somebody wet, but I don't want them to lose any money.
Well, maybe it's a good question for your American listeners who still have paper money.
That's a really good question. So in the US... they have cotton money.
I'll tell you what they have. The worst money.
I love their money so much.
It's dirty. It's the same colour. They're all roughly the same size.
They are exactly the same size.
It makes no sense.
Oh, it's stupid. Remember when we went to America a couple of months ago and you tried to coach me in the airport on the coins and I didn't do very well?
Yeah, no, you were
I was like,
off.
Which one is the tuppence? I can't find it.
Lebo, do you have one you'd like to share with the group?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say I'd like to share it, but I will. This is from on Facebook.
This was sent in by Sam Silcock. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. This is some man called Tommy Tiny has posted this on the Northern Beaches Buy, Sell and Swap Facebook page.
Northern Beaches. Now, that's not too far from me. That's where my parents live.
Might want to
the Northern Beaches
Tommy
is quite
Tiny.
Nice, isn't it?
Very nice, yes.
Someone was doing a joke about the Northern Beaches yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Can't remember what it was. All right. They were like, this character's from the Northern Beaches, you know, and that was their way of characterising them as being wealthy.
Do you do local gear when you travel?
Yeah, so when I'm in Australia, I'll go, oh, it's good to be here in Australia, and then I'll start doing my material.
Wow, that would make me feel really...
It's that
really
level of like dedication to research.
Well, I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything less than that.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist, but I don't pander.
Yeah. No, I think it's good.
That's good. Well, would you like to buy some love torches?
Oh, my. Hang on.
Wait, sorry, no, this could be love torches? Let's find out.
I don't think it's that.
$45. 90% of my collection is new and unused. Need to sell as I just got a girlfriend and I need these gone before she starts snooping around. And oh my God, the torches have mouths. Some of them have teeth. There's a lot of them. Oh, and some of them also have vaginas.
Okay.
So there's a collection of a lot. Like, we bought
my God. Okay.
It's the same as a fleshlight, right?
Yeah, we've spoken about this on the podcast before.
Yeah, we bought one for Tom Walker once on his birthday.
Oh, you guys are such sweethearts.
Yeah. And we gave it to him in a box.
But we engraved it and it was very expensive.
It was insanely expensive.
So that's a lot. That's a lot of money.
Guy, can you count how many prosthetic vaginas and mouths there are there
for
us?
Yeah, I can.
Just a quick little...
So by my count, I see a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
This is a terrible Sesame Street segment.
Buttholes.
Uh-huh.
Can you count it like the count from Sesame Street?
1. It takes too long. 2. One of them is just like a coin slot from a vending machine. You know how you sometimes walk past a vending machine, you're like, God, I'd love to ram my dick where all that money goes. There's like fucking 10 mouths and one of them's got teeth. And it looks like the mouth of the count.
It does.
It's a bit fangy, isn't it?
Good on this guy Tommy Tiny for getting a girlfriend in the first instance. It's going to last long if he accuses her of snooping. And she's got every right to fucking snoop, you prick.
There's so many of them. You would not have to snoop very hard before you stumbled upon.
90% new and unused. What are you collecting them for then? They're not toys, they're collectibles. Take them out of the box, have a muck around.
How, like, what's he doing with the other 10%? Is that the ones
fucking
where
the shit out of them, Ben. That's what they're for.
Oh, I got it backwards. Yeah, right, yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my. So do you think he just hasn't gotten around to the other 90%?
I mean, it's really hard to say. He probably just got a good deal. You know, like this is a classic. You know, it's going to be cyclical because the next person will buy them, and then they'll use like, you know, 2 of the 20, and then they'll be like, oh, you know, like 80% are unused. God, I tell you what, these things must be because there's no retail value on dildos or fleshlights. Yeah. Like, they must be bad for the environment, hey?
I reckon I would feel so if I was going to have a wank and I had to look at how many of them are there. There's about 18 or something there.
Yeah, about that.
How, like, I would be overwhelmed with choice.
Yeah, like you'd be like choosing like a fancy man in the chocolate store, yeah. Like twiddling your fingers.
You'd never get around to wanking.
I simply couldn't have all of them. Well, how sad do I want the mouth to be?
Yeah. If you line them all up, you could, you know, have sex with each of them.
Oh,
you know,
like
you go boom. Oh, like boom, boom.
But even then, I think you'd only get a bit. Oh, I don't know. Like,
depends how good they are, I guess.
Who's to say? Have you used a fleshlight?
I haven't. A couple of podcast guests have. Tom Ballard told a story about getting one at Just for Laughs. Did you just do Just for Laughs?
No, I did not. So, I would have loved to, but they didn't ask me. Was the main problem.
Well, everybody got a fleshlight.
Oh, this year.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about the girls?
And Tom brought it up to be like, that is like, there is no better kind of illustration of
the bias in the comedy industry.
Even the girls, they were like, well, what do I, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Wow, fuck this with my strap-on dildo for absolutely no pleasure whatsoever. To anything more self-defeating than a lady with a strap-on pounding a fleshlight.
Tom Walker does an entire story club story about the path, the series of events that led him to fucking his fleshlight. And there's a really grim detail that he tells where it's like he went to the forums, which are like, just some of the just saddest corners of the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody was like, "You should you should put it in a click lock bag, the actual like plastic, the rubbery bit, put it in a click lock bag and float it in hot water for like 5 minutes because then it'll feel like a person."
Do you know? As soon as you said put it in a click lock bag, I was like, "They're gonna sous vide that fleshlight."
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Yeah, like a 93 degree fleshlight. Yeah.
And so Tom just tells this story about just like standing in front of the sink while like the water laps at the sides.
Oh.
Like,
just use your hands. Honestly, that's so
bleak.
Yeah, hands
feel like a person.
Imagine, you know, molten latex.
I will say though that like we've covered fleshlights a little bit on this show and I have never in my life seen a better deal than 18 for $45.
It is good. I just think that you should just have one fleshlight and then just get a lot of reattachable tops to put on top.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like a waste.
The torch base is actually hugely wasteful in this case.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
As you know, as eco-conscious wankers,
yeah,
we should all be, like, redesigning them, like the keep cups, like just with a different lid on top.
Yeah.
Just like a keep cup. Yeah, exactly like a keep cup. Well,
funnily enough, you know, I couldn't find my fleshlight this morning. I fucked my keep cup.
That is one of the attachments.
Yeah. When you really love coffee.
Would you guys like one to take us home?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
This is sent in by Patrick Copus. Thank you, Patrick. And this is Mrs. Beak's advice hotline. First call free. No bill, just Beak. And the...
I'm listening.
The image is of a woman in like what looks to be kind of lingerie wearing a beak. Like it kind of looks like a slightly Commedia dell'arte sort of...
Oh, is that Mrs. Beak?
Plague Dr. Beak. If it's not Mrs. Beak, I think it's misleading. And there's text, Beak of the Week.
Ah.
All right. And the slogan is, Peckin and Reckon 'em.
Beak of the Week. You're against the same lady, different beak?
Do you need honest advice, help making a decision, or perhaps just someone to talk to? Mrs. Beak and the Beak family are offering free 5-minute calls to or from their advice line. Well, how does that work?
Yeah, we'll call you up and offer advice for free.
When you don't know who to call in a situation, call Mrs. Beak. I've got to say that, I mean, I can think of at least a dozen situations on the top of my head where calling Mrs. Beak is not going to be helpful.
I tell you what, though, because of what you've just said, next time you're in a bit of a jam, You'd be like, oh my God, who should I call? Who was my wife's name? I love her so. All I can think of is Mrs. Beak. Beak.
After your initial free call, you can talk to the Beak line for 50 cents a minute. The Beaks hate overpriced things, so the advice is kept relatively cheap. Mrs. Beak is blunt, sometimes drops curse words.
Can I ask you, how did they spell cheap?
They spelt it cheap. I just tried to invent a letter
there.
Yeah,
you did.
C-H-E-A-P.
They missed a trick there. They really did.
Mrs. Beak is blunt, sometimes drops curse words, and is just an everyday person. However, all advice is her opinion, the way she would go about the situation you describe. Adult problems are fine to discuss. Mrs. Beak has various life experiences. Please no under 18-year-old callers. All right? If there is no answer, please send a text with your name and number, preferred callback time. Oh, because Mrs. Beak's going to ruminate over it. Mrs. Beak may be the best person you talk to all week. That's a low bar. Also, if you would prefer a male to talk to, please ask for Mr. Beak.
Oh, that's a good detail.
Mr. Beak is just Mrs. Beak going, hello.
The Beaks come in.
The Beaks only offer their advice. The Beaks are not responsible for any outcomes that may occur. The Beaks had to do this disclaimer as it's a crazy world out there. That is the entire ad. This was listed, I don't know what area it was listed in actually, but because it's over the phone, doesn't matter. It was listed in Melbourne, Victoria. What do we think?
Well, it's obviously a lot of thought has gone into this. You know, I don't know. It's pretty weird stuff. Again, Mrs. Beak had an idea and then she needed someone to run past it. So she left the house, went to a payphone, called up Mr. Beak. And then I guess in your world, she would have been like, oh no, I am Mr. Beak.
But why do they need to wear beaks? Like, who needs
advice
for a person wearing a beak?
It's all oral. You can't see it.
Yeah, the description never comes into it. Like,
Do you think that you would feel better or worse or neutral receiving advice from somebody wearing a beak?
I think I'd just be so confused. I wouldn't know what to think.
I'll tell you this. I'd feel pretty fucking ripped off if I called up Mrs. Beak and then, you know, it turned out she was just a regular lady. Like, imagine you call up.
How would she need to prove her beakiness to you?
Picks or it didn't happen, right?
If
the whole reason I'm paying 50 cents a minute to talk to you is because you're wearing a beak. I need to know for certain that that's what's happening. I don't want to be out there like some idiot.
Yeah.
You know, talking to a regular, like, going down the pub, telling all the lads, you know.
See, what confuses me about this is the picture of her with the beak, pecking him and wrecking him. That doesn't sound like a nice thing that she's doing for people.
No.
It's Mrs. Beak's Beak of the Week. Does that mean that she will...
I think they were like just trying out two different advertising things. On the front, they were like mean and kind of scary rhymes. And on the back, were like, and just, you know, like authentic, well-intended help.
I'm
so confused by Mrs. Beak. I don't know what she wants from us.
She wants 50 cents a minute. And if your problem is too complicated for Mrs. Beak, she'll think about it. She'll ruminate and then she'll text you back the answer. But she won't take any responsibility for it.
$30 an hour.
That's
what it is, right? 50 cents a minute.
So we could book Mrs. Beak on this podcast.
Yes.
For $30.
Fuck. Mrs. Beak, wow. Surely, I mean, if this is her job, she would be a fantastic podcast guest.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll
$30, I mean, that's much less than what you guys are paying me. Absolutely.
You could provide her with some seed. I just think that
these... Do you reckon... Because, like, you know, maybe she's going for, like, owls being quite wise.
I want to know what voice she uses.
No way, man. Look at that. That is not the beak of an owl.
No, it's absolutely not the beak
of an owl. That's a woodpecker.
Just pecking him and wrecking him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, look, I feel like we've learnt a lot today.
I don't think that.
Okay. That's probably fair. I think we've certainly enjoyed some snacks.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Chiharu, for sending those in. We've barely scratched the surface and we cannot wait to eat more.
Mm.
Guy, this is coming out tomorrow. So
Oh, yeah.
You have a trial show on
tomorrow.
Tonight.
No, tomorrow. Oh, tonight, because it's today.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, yeah. It's Monday, of course, the 18th of September. Yeah, it's 7 p.m. at Giant Dwarf. There are still tickets available if you go to the Giant Dwarf website or just look up Guy Montgomery Giant Dwarf.
Yep.
I'm sure the information will come
I was on your website the other day, and you need to update that.
Yeah. But it's a good website, though.
It's a great website. Yeah. It's really cool.
Also, I have recently made a web series with comedian and friend Ray Badron.
Ray Badron. Uh-huh. Yeah. Excellent.
For Comedy Central New Zealand Australia. It's called No Experience Necessary.
Yep.
The premise, if you must know.
Sorry to pry.
Is Ray comes to New Zealand to try and make the greatest sitcom of all time under the false premise that it's cheaper to do that in New Zealand. He solicits my help. And things go poorly. We literally cast for the show through Trade Me, which is, of course, New Zealand's Gumtree.
There you go.
That's a nice little fit.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a good laugh. So it's on the website, comedycentral.com.au, I guess.
And also on the telly?
On the telly, I think, also. I'm going to be on the telly.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming. Really sorry about the death of Michael Hing and Tim.
You know what? I was feeling pretty low on the way here, but I've really come to terms with it.
Yeah. That's nice.
And you realise how easy it is without them once you're living without them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can just move on.
It's weird. People often say the opposite of that, but...
Yeah, they're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can catch me and Lebo on another podcast called Dragon Friends, where we play D&D in front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, if you don't know what D&D is, don't worry, because we didn't either when we started and still arguably don't. You can get that wherever you got this. But until next week...
You have been listening to my podcast, Free to a Good Home, hosted by me, Alex Lee. I'd like to thank you, Guy Montgomery, for coming on to my excellent program that I put up regularly and every week and never take a break. And to my helpful little sidekick, Ben Jenkins.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for having me.
Thanks for playing along.
Bye!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.